بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ابن عطاء اسكندري رحمة الله عليه says, every moment has an obligation with it. You have a duty, you have an obligation to every moment that passes over you. Obviously, these moments are time. Hayatuka anfasun tu'addu. What is your life? Your life is a collection of moments. That's your life. Collection of hours, collection of seconds, collection of days. This is the sum of your life. Hayatuka anfasun tu'addu. Kullama madat minha nafasun in qadat minha juz'un. Each moment passes and one section of your life has ended. One breath has ended and one section of your life has terminated, finished. This is the sum khulasa of life. So these moments that you've been blessed with, these moments, these hours, these seconds that you have been blessed with, they are a blessing, and every blessing has an obligation, has a duty. Like you have got limbs, right? These are all blessings from Allah Ta'ala. Eyes, nose, ears, face. So these are all blessings. Then these blessings have an obligation. With these blessings, you will look at the right things. You will make sajda. You will cry to Allah Ta'ala. You will talk good. And it has certain duties as well, that you won't see the wrong, you won't speak about wrong, you won't listen towards the wrong. Like these are blessings and they have got duties and obligations, then time is also a blessing. And when time is a blessing, then it has got certain duties, it's got certain obligations. Then when you look at these moments that pass over you, then they are classified, they are divided into two types of moments that pass upon you. One moment is a moment of goodness. You're enjoying some good, some favor from Allah Ta'ala. And the other moment is a moment where you are going through some type of difficulty, distress, pain. So these are the two things that will pass over you. Either some favorable condition or some unfavorable, some unsavory situation that you are going through. So the condition that is favorable, what you're supposed to be doing in that favorable condition, there you're supposed to be thanking Allah Ta'ala. Showing gratitude in some way or the other, you're supposed to be showing gratitude to Allah Ta'ala. So that is now the duty for that moment that is favorable, that moment that is enjoyable, that moment that is likable to you. So this is what you're supposed to be doing, showing some form of gratitude for that moment. That you're seeing the right things, you're enjoying the right things, right? It's a food, a morsel of food that you enjoy. So you are thanking Allah Ta'ala, either immediately or after the end of the meal, you're thanking Allah Ta'ala, for it was something good that you had gone through. You came out from the toilet and you relieved yourself. Just before you could relieve yourself, so there was a lot of rumbling in the stomach, a lot of movement and pain. Then when you relieved yourself, you found calmness, you found ease, you found your stomach settled. So Allah Ta'ala removed this pain and this thing that was annoying you, Allah Ta'ala removed it. So when He removed it, then you said, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, الذي أذهب عني الأذى. So any good that you enjoy and experience, then you say Alhamdulillah, you show some thanks, you show some appreciation. Right? By the same token, if you go through any difficulty, then you make sabr, and you will say similar words. It will enhance the spirit of sabr. You will make sabr. Here you are grateful and you said words of gratitude. Here you will be patient, and together with that patience, you will say those words that will enhance the spirit of patience. For example, you will say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, or Allahumma ajirni fi musibati. So you will say those words that will enhance the spirit of patience. For what is patience? Habsun nafsi ala ma takrahu ibtigha'an ridha'an lillah. That you restrained yourself. You normally would restrain yourself against things that you don't like. You want to eat this, but you're holding yourself back. You want to drink this, but you're holding yourself back. But why are you holding yourself back? Though you want to do it, he told you a mouthful and you want to tell him something, but you're holding yourself back. Right? But why you want to tell him this much? Because he told you this much. But why do you restrain yourself? You restrain yourself not for no reason, for some reason. What reason do you hold yourself back from this? You hold yourself back for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. That you have this firm hope and aspiration that for you holding yourself, you are going to get rewarded. It's not coming without a reward. It's coming with a reward. Sooner or later, sometimes, you will get remunerated for this. So you will say those words that will enhance the spirit of patience. So words like Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, etc. You will say these words. Now this is a duty at the time of prosperity, and this is the duty in the time of adversity. Two conditions will overcome you. It's either prosperity or adversity. There isn't a third condition. Either prosperity or adversity. Is there a third condition? No third condition. Like you're sitting here, you've got no problems, you're quite comfortable, so you are in comfort, and comfort translates as prosperity. You're quite comfortable, you've got no pain, no person making any demand against you, nobody is demanding you to appear in court, no creditor is demanding payment of his debt. So you are quite comfortable, you're quite relaxed, you are quite at ease. So these are moments of ease and enjoyment. So you will say that these are moments of prosperity. So these are just two conditions that will pass over mankind. And each moment has a duty. Right? And if the duty is executed within the time, well and good. It was a time of prosperity, then you're supposed to show gratitude, Alhamdulillah, shukr, etc. You're supposed to show that. It was a moment of adversity, it was a time to show sabr, patience, etc. And you've shown that, right? So, if it was that moment of prosperity and you showed gratitude, so you fulfilled the duty of the time, right? And moments are such, moments are not such that you can preserve them. Right? You can't take this. It's a moment, like you got a topi, it's a gift, right, from Allah Ta'ala. So you are not using it, you can preserve it. You want to use it, use it. You take it as you want. But moments and time, they keep on passing. It isn't something that you can take out and preserve. Say, I'm not going to use it now. I'll use it when I want it, I'll use it. You can't say that. So, time is a gift of a different nature altogether. These other commodities, they are gifts also, but of a different nature. And time is also a gift, but it's of a different nature altogether. Right? Others you can preserve, and time you can't preserve. So that means every moment has got a duty. when we add this up, this whole thing what I'm discussing now, by the grace of Allah, that every moment has got a duty. When every moment has got a duty, right? So if you failed to perform the duty of that time, then according to this formula, according to this explanation that I gave you, can you ever fulfill the duty of the time afterwards? Can you? Can't finish. Time is gone. Now, can you ever fulfill the duty of that time that has passed? Can't. Right. Because once that time has passed, the next moment has set in. Next moment got a duty of its own. When it's got a duty of its own, then if you're going to fulfill the duty of the past, then you're going to fulfill this moment's duty. And if fulfilling this moment's duty, then the past is still past. It's still standing. See? So this will bring you this to this conclusion that there isn't anything as precious as time. And everything else is quite precious, but as precious as time, nothing. It's the most precious thing. Okay, there is no compensation for lost time. The time has passed, but to be able to compensate for that past time, can you compensate in any way? Any way can you compensate? No way. Can't even think of anything where you can compensate for that lost time. So therefore Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. You've got such a great blessing by you, and if you didn't appreciate that moment, then really you are in a loss. Khusr is with tanween, then tanween comes for ta'zeem as well. Sometimes it comes for tahqeer, sometimes it comes for ta'zeem. Now here it comes for ta'zeem. And insan got alif lam, and then alif lam comes for istighraq, saying that all, without exception, every person without exception, alif lam, comes for that meaning as well. Without exception, every person, the old, the young, the sick, the healthy, the man, the woman, the young, and the middle age, everybody, person that is occupied in his business, person that is not occupied, person that's got a work, person that hasn't got a work, he's got a job, he doesn't have a job, right? Every person, without exception, everybody is in a loss. And not a simple loss, but a serious loss. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. One is like a small loss, right? You know, you incurred a loss. And when Allah Pak says لَفِي خُسْرٍ, then it's a serious loss. Man is in a serious loss, not just in a loss, but in a very serious loss. You incurred a big loss, major loss. Right? Strangely, mankind is such. If someone had a motor car accident and he went to fix it up, got an estimate for how much they will cost, how much they will charge, 100,000. So most people will ask you first, are you insured? Say, yeah, oh, alhamdulillah. That's the first response. See how we talk. You know, because it's damaged. But you're insured. Yeah, just insured now. Hey, you want big time, eh? So this is how we talk, right? Anyway, the masla, apart from the masla, one is what our behavior and our response not being right is one thing. But a material loss is counted as a loss. But a real loss, that is our spiritual and our dini loss, that is not counted as a loss. You'll find some youngsters or some middle-aged people sitting and talking and enjoying themselves. So you ask them what they're doing. Say, no, we're killing time, passing time. Don't you hear that? Passing time. But do you ever hear them saying, we're killing money? Money, so material we attach such an importance, but this, do we attach an importance? No importance. Material, we genuinely, I incurred a big loss in money. To make mashwara for that, no? But for the time that was lost, do you make mashwara for that? We don't make mashwara for that. Car got damaged, this loss came here, that loss. So we have to go to the Sheikh and the Buzruk and ask him, why are we in for trouble here, you know? What do we do here? But the time that was lost, do we make mashwara for that? No mashwara for that. Any mashwara for that? Any discussion about that? So that is why Allah Pak also says, لا خير في كثير من نجوام. Most of the secret get-togethers, secret talks, it's because of bhalai nahi. There's nothing in it. There's nothing in it. If you look at all your talks, you know, when you, secretly when you're talking, discussing within friends and all that, there isn't anything substantial in that. When I say substantial, it may be profitable, but nothing substantial. Nothing substantial. When I say substantial, like for example, I gave you a good pair of clothing, you know, very, very good pair, with a shawl and a jersey, jacket, etc. All in all that was worth, say, 20,000 rands. Very good, you know, very good quality, all that I gave you, 20,000 rands. So you took all that clothing, all that, and you used that clothing to light up a fire and prepare tea, right? So it came to some use. Did it come to some use or not? You prepared tea, so it was for some use. But is it the right thing? Is it substantial? Is it something that makes sense? No, it doesn't make sense. You'll talk about, hey, these people here, they're stupid, man. They're stupid. So our stupidity and sense is only around material. Only material. If you incurred something, some material loss, then you say, no, he's stupid, he's wrong. And there was a material gain, they say, hey, he gained big way. Eh? MashaAllah, he gained, and he gained such a big way. Kalla. Inna idha an'amna alayhi. In Surah Fajr, what's the ayat? Akraman, before that Akraman. إِذَا وَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَّمَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا إِذَا قَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَانًا. So our gain and our loss, prosperity and our adversity is confined to material. إِذَا وَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَّمَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا. Allah has honored me, man. No, this country was so poor. And we just came across some petroleum. Allah Pak favored us. Allah Pak favored us. So the favor is subject to some material prosperity. And if that material prosperity had gone, some type of material we had and went away, Rabbi Ahanana. I don't know what I did, you know, Allah Pak took everything away from me. So the loss is also subject to material loss. Material loss, when we, you know, there's a gauge, right, to gauge prosperity and to gauge adversity. So the gauge that we look at is only material. If there's a material gain, then it's a prosperous. And if there's a material loss, it's that Allah Pak is disappointed with me, therefore everything has gone away. So everything just revolves around material. So anyway, what we're getting at, that these are all gifts of Allah Ta'ala, and when they are gifts, that every moment has a duty. And if he is not fulfilled within that time, then till the day of Qiyamah, then you cannot fulfill that obligation, you cannot fulfill it. So that brings you to this conclusion that there isn't anything as important as time. So overall, you've got three gifts. One is time. One is energy. One is time, call it energy, call it health, right? And number three is wealth. So one is wealth or material. One is time. One is energy and health. And number three is wealth, material, prosperity, right? So So these are three gifts of Allah Ta'ala. If you want, you could add the fourth one, and the fourth one would be intelligence, right? So every person, every human being has been blessed with these four gifts. He's got intelligence, he's got time, he's got wealth, and he's got health, right? Every human being has got it. And wastage is not like Allah Ta'ala. La yuhibbul musrifin, right? Inna al-mubadhirina kanu ikhwana shayateen. So one side Allah Pak says he doesn't like them. Then he says they are the brethren of shaitan. For which people? People that are wasteful. So those that waste, then Allah Pak doesn't like them. Now, if you can just open our minds and not restrict the meaning of waste just only to material. See, when we talk of wastage, then it's only restricted to material. Nothing else but material. See, you can apply it to all these things because time is wealth. You are employed in a company, you're employed for your time, aren't you? Employed for your time. So if you are delayed, then they will cut it, they will deduct it from your salary. Right? So that means time is wealth. Right? Like wealth is precious to you, then to your boss, your time is precious. So your time translates as wealth by him. Right? So your wealth is precious, your time is precious. Then it is your health, right, and your energy, right? And number four is your intelligence. Right? So these are all gifts of Allah Ta'ala. And for these gifts of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Pak says, he doesn't like the musrifin. La yuhibbul musrifin. He doesn't like them. Imagine if your wife has to turn around and tell you, but I don't like you. I'm just doing it because I'm in the marriage, so I'm doing things for you. You know, you have to prepare I have to prepare your tea and your toast. I'm doing it, but all right. You want that personal life, personal attention. I give it to you, but I got no feelings towards you. My feelings towards you are dead. But because now I'm not going to show you that type of respect, then the malaika will curse me. So I just showed you that feeling. But I'm dead towards you. Do you enjoy that life? Do you appreciate that life? If she has to tell you that I don't like you, how do you feel? Do you feel that that is a workable life? It's not a workable thing. You know, either you try and patawa her and try and pamper her and bring her up again as she begins to like you, or what you will do is you say, all right, then let's call it an end. Right? Let's call it a day and end this whole thing up. One of the two things you will definitely do. She must tell you that I don't like you. Or if, for example, your father tells you from all his children, I don't like you. Parents have to tell you, I don't like you. Then what do you think to yourself? Then what's the worth of life? My parents, my seniors, they say they don't like me. Now Allah Pak is announcing, but I don't like you. You say you're doing a lot of things, but I don't like you. So how do you feel? La yuhibbul musrifin. Allah Pak is saying, he is ultimate. There's nobody above Allah Ta'ala. He's ultimate. He's everything. Right? He's ultimate. He's everything. And he's announcing that I don't like you. So can you imagine the seriousness of this statement, the seriousness of this verse, where Allah Pak will say that I don't like you. How serious this thing is. By the same token, then innal mubadhirina kanu ikhwana shayateen. The people that waste, or mufassirin, some say that both are mutaradif, and some say that there is a slight difference, right, between israf and tabzir. Israf, what they will say is that israf is where you're supposed to be spending in that avenue, but you spend more than what you're supposed to be spending. That's called israf. Like, for example, you need to make wuzu with so much of water, but you open the tap full and you're using double, half you're wasting, half you're using. So that's called israf. You're supposed to use it, but you use more money, more than what you're supposed to be using in that avenue. That's called israf. Right? Afil ma'i sarfun. The hadith says, afil ma'i sarfun. Sarf, see the word israf. So wuzu is a thing that you need to do. You can't escape it, you can't avoid it, right? So you are spending in a need, but you're spending more than what you're supposed to be spending. that's called sarf, that's called israf. Now that same definition can be applied to all facets of your life, right? Different facets of your life, you're applying the same definition, right? Now you got, for example, tiles in your kitchen. Now you see, now you need to give it a facelift. And you're removing all the old and you're replacing it with new. That old was used, was good looking, there was nothing wrong in it. But now you see, now it's outdated now, you know, it's outdated. And I need to just replace this, give it a facelift. So it's for people to think now, is this sarf or not? I don't want to give any fatwa, but it's for you to think, is tafti qalbak? Okay, is it working? Is it right? Is it giving any problem? There's no problem in it. It's all right. It is used. It's not bad looking. It's not an eyesore. And then too, I went and removed all the old and replaced it. Is this now israf or not? Because israf is to spend more than what you were supposed to be spending. Where you're spending within what you were supposed to spend, it's all right. But you spend more than what you're supposed to be spending, then you call it israf. In wuzu, you were supposed to use, for example, half a liter of water. Now you use 2 liters of water. So you said, now that's israf. But you used within that limit you used, then there was no israf. Right? So the same principle can be extended to all different facets. Right? Now one is, like I said, your home, right? Then you can, same thing, you can apply to different things. Now, what a walima party on, right? And in that walima party, for example, now just to get the decor right, you spend 100,000 rands, right, to get that decor on that stage where the bride is going to sit, right? So that decor, you spend so much. How long is it going to last? For about 3 hours, 4 hours. That wedding is about 3-4 hours. They will sit there, they'll come, they will do whatever they need to do, and then move away. After that, what happens to all that decor? You get deck of it, isn't it? Doesn't it happen? Then you want to throw it away. It's of no use. So that 100,000 rand that was spent was for what? Was it israf or not? You need to ask yourself, is it israf or not? Because it wasn't a need. It was just to impress someone, just for the look, for the 3-4 hours, that's all. Just to impress. Now, it's the first step in a new edifice. The first brick, the first stone in a new edifice, right? New building in the first step. What was that? Marriage. Marriage, and the first step in marriage was this, get together, right? And it happened wrong. It didn't happen correctly. So how can this marriage then be of barakat? How can there be barakat in this? The Imam Sahib, after the nikah, will say, Barakallahu lakuma, Baraka alaykuma. But what you have done is, you have taken that dua of the Imam and you have flung it back onto his face. He's given you that Imam, that dua, but you have taken that and you have flung it back. So is that of any barakat, of any good? See, so we need to look at the areas where we are wasting. So one is the material. Then I said there are 3 other areas where we waste, right? One is our energy. Right, one is time. One is intelligence. Right, so again we waste here. Right. Sometimes it happens, or a little bit of amusement. Islam doesn't disapprove of it. Some amusement, reasonable amount. You need to brighten yourself a little bit. You had a tough day, so you need to amuse with your wife, children, or friends. Right, so you amuse yourself. Or at the end of some period, say 1-2 weeks, the friends got together, had some food, braai or something, barbecue. Islam doesn't discourage that. You're doing that, why? Just to brighten your spirits, bring yourself up again. Friends got together and you wanted some barbecue, so you'll eat, you'll enjoy yourself. Right. But now, your energy, your time, your intelligence is used in sports. Sports became like an obsession. Either watching it, either being active in that, or either talking about it. Right? Now I ask you, is this israf or not? He says, Vaishti do not. You're looking at a sporting event, or you're talking about it, or you're reading about it, or you're discussing it. Soccer, or cricket, or rugby, or football, whatever. But hours you're seeing or following it. In Springer Beach Masjid, one person came in, and he offered 100 rakat namaz. Someone asked him, "Bhai, tum kya kar rahe the? What were you doing?" He said, "Apne suna nahi Pakistan khel raha hai. Uske liye dua kar raha tha. Pakistan is playing now, they're versing, and I'm making 100 rakat namaz to see that Pakistan wins this whole match." So in itself, is this a right thing? Is this israf or not? I guess a wastage or not? A wastage of time or not? Is this adding any type of value to your life? Is this something that is needed by you, by the Muslims? Or is it wastage? The money that is spent, the time that is spent, the energy that is spent, the intelligence that was spent, was it wasted or not? Like I said, a little bit of amusement, it's all right. Islam doesn't discourage that. But now you made it an obsession. So much of time in you're driving to work, so I want to hear the commentary. What's going on? Right? Is it wasted or not? We need to ask within ourselves, is it wasted or not? So much of time, so much of training, so much of that we want sports training. Or we want to go for sports training, or we become sports trainers. So is this all wastage or not? Because when you talk of wastage, then it's something that is not bringing benefit to people generally. No benefit. It's no benefit. It's time that is wasted. It's money that is wasted. It's intelligence that is wasted. It is your health that has been wasted. So like Allah Pak says, La yuhibbul musrifin de, is this israf or not? Is this wastage or not? Your time, your wealth, your intelligence, your health. Is this wasted on you? Ask yourself. Someone is doing that. Someone is doing art. Hours and hours are just going in art. Then someone will come, some critic will come. What's the aim? You know, you have to have a taste for this thing. You have to understand now what is art. You don't have a taste now, then you won't appreciate this. You know, this signifies the west, because this is the setting of the sun now, or this is the rising of the sun, and he showed you the reflection. So when he showed you the reflection, that signifies what? West. So now so much of time, so much of effort, so much of energy gone, but what has been achieved? Has anything been achieved out of it? Is this wastage or not? So this is tafti qalb. Ask yourself, is there any wastage in it? If there is something significant that is coming out. Mustafa Rahmatullah used to say that when he was young, very young, 7 to 10, 12 years of age, so he needed to bring fana'iyat in him. He needed to bring abdiyat in him. So in his room, he wrote the Ana Abdullah. So every time he looks at it, I'm a servant. Like I explained yesterday, when you say that you are a servant, then you are saying, really, what you are saying, you're alluding that there is an instructor and a master over me. Right? And when you are a servant, you are a slave, and he's the master and instructor, so he's got the right to instruct. And unquestionable, unconditional, he's got all the right to instruct. Right? And when you're the slave, then unconditional submission. He's got unconditional right to instruct, and you have to give unconditional submission. Otherwise, you're out of the game. They say it's a final, soccer final, but you're out of the game. They give you a card, go out. So unless and until you don't say, I have unconditional submission, you're not part of the game. If Allah Ta'ala says, give you a card, go out to the game. What happens? See? So he had that in his room, Ana Abdullah. He's looking at this now. What is my place in this entire game? It's as though this whole world is like a stage, right? In a stage, you have players, you have actors, right? And if every actor needs to know his place. Now imagine there's an actor that's carrying on, right? Cinderella, right? Cinderella is carrying on, right? And you're coming on the stage, but you don't know your place. What will happen? The whole world will laugh at you. Hey, you're occupying space. Get out, get out. Won't they say that? If you don't know your place there in that play, what will they say? You're spoiling the whole show here. Won't they say that? Hey, I don't want to go to the show because they were all nonsense people. They're useless. Why they came? Why that person came? Won't they say that? Right. Huh? You may have seen some show, right? Jais or Najais, something must have been seen, right? Some show you may have seen. But if that person is just occupying space there in that show, what will you say? So in this entire game, in this entire world, right, you are one of the players. You are one of the actors. When you're the actor there, then do you need to identify your place or not? And if you haven't identified your place, then aren't you spoiling the whole thing? Aren't you spoiling the whole show here? Spoiling the whole thing. The whole thing is being spoiled just because you don't know your place. Now, know your place. If you want to know your place, then just ponder, reflect over the word Abdullah. I am the slave of Allah Ta'ala. And then when you say you are the slave of Allah Ta'ala, then what do you mean? Unconditional submission to the master, to the instructor, who's got the right of unconditional instruction. He's got the unconditional instruction, I got the unconditional submission. Now you know your place. So now if you wrote something, and that thing is bringing to you tremendous benefit. Very good, excellent. Otherwise now, it's an art. So that art now, of what good? What good? You spend so much of hours, so much of time, so much of whatever you spend, but what came out of the whole thing? So we need to examine this. Most of us, we need to examine. People are asking this question nowadays, is it permissible to become a sports trainer, or is it permissible to become a footballer, soccer, or cricket, or whatever? Is it permissible? And then it becomes like such. It becomes such a craze. A craze. I think we were in Umrah somewhere, so there was a group of Bangladeshis. So we were using the lift at one at the same time, or we were going up, you know. So they were also using the same lift as we were using. So they asked, where are you from? So someone said, South Africa. I said, yeah, I know one people there, Hashim Amla. That was his word. I know one people, Hashim Amla. Now then you feel proud. Hey, see, I am from that person, from that nation. Is that a thing to be proud about? Right. As far as his person is concerned, we don't run the person down. But what I'm saying, all right, what he's made a significant change in his life, got a beard, etc., etc. But that's not the goal. He's not a precedent in Islam. What? It's for the people that are far behind, maybe he's a precedent. But for the people that are already performing namaz, already going good now they say that he's a precedent, so they'll go backwards now. Say, now, hey, see, Hashim Umrah is playing, so let's go and see the TV today. Must drink pasta coding because his photo comes there. Yeah. So you're going to go forward or you're going to go backwards? For the people that were right behind, all right, he's a goal. He's a little bit of a hope for them. People are very far behind now. They're coming murtad and all that. They're coming murtad, mixed marriage and all that. For them, he's a little bit of a hope. But the people that are already on board, they're moving, they're coming near the shore. Now, do you see this in context? Like I say, in life you need to see, understand your place. Understood your place, then you are winning. If you haven't understood your place, you're going backwards. And your place is such an important thing. You don't have your place, don't you make a big noise. You boarded the plane, right? And they say that you are a standing passenger. You must stand the whole journey. And to avoid you falling, but just hold on to the rope. You will appreciate that, or you make a big noise. So you want your place. Anything, you want your place. You know, I paid for it, I deserve this, I want my place. Right. Or for example now, you had taken a certain hotel, certain room in a hotel, an apartment. They didn't give you as they had promised you. This will be the finishes, etc. They didn't give you all that. So you didn't get your place. When you didn't get your place, do you make a noise or you just keep quiet? Why? You didn't get your place. So to be on your place is so important that if you don't get your place, you make such a big noise, you turn the whole thing around. I'll fine you, I'll sue you, I'll take you to the police, I'll do this, I'll do this. Why? Because you feel that you deserve that place. So the most important thing in life is to understand your place. You understood your place, then be on in your place. So when you said, Ana Abdullah, you understood your place. Now then, are you in your place or not? Are you moved? Have you moved out of your place? Or are you in your place? Just moving out of the place, even ibadat also, you say that ibadat is not right. You moved out of your place. The imam is standing in front, and you moved ahead of the imam. Is your ibadat right? Is your ibadat right? That you moved out of your place, or you and your wife are performing namaz together, and she overstepped the mark, and she stood before you. In one namaz, you're both reading namaz collectively, and she stood ahead of you. She stood not in her place. Now the namaz is valid. So much of ibadat you have made, 15th of Shaban, or 27th of Ramadan, Shab-e Qadr, so much of ibadat. But is that namaz valid? Why? Just because she was not in her place. You were not in your place, she was not in her place. So not being in the place is so, so significant that in the world, material things also, you say, is not acceptable. In dini things, Allah Pak says, is not acceptable. So to understand your place. So why I gave the example of cricket is because people talk about this and they don't understand what they're talking about. Understand the place of that Hashim Bhai, what he did, where he was and where he is, alright. For him, it was significant what he did, right? But that doesn't mean that he's a precedent for the whole world. For those that were like kafir, murtad and all that, for them, alright, now there's some hope, come through. But for those that are ahead of him, then if they take him as a precedent, then they're going backwards. They are going forward then. So understand your place. You understand your place. No. We will accept what you're doing. For a certain class, what you're doing alright, but just remain there. But we won't take you as our God. We won't take you as our leader, as a precedent. Understand? Otherwise, you'll go back with it, because we didn't understand our place. So understand your place. So you see our time, how much is getting wasted. How much is being wasted? Just for that waste now, I'm showing you how in the sports and how our time is being wasted. Child is going to madrasa, so the parents will come and cry and say for extracurricular activities, the child needs to go for cricket training. So Mondays he won't come to madrasa, and Fridays he'll come half the time. And the ustad has got no choice but to accept because they're going for something very important. For what? For sports training. Now you see what happens. Now Islam also talks about sports. But Islam speaks about sports, but in a totally different perspective. Islam doesn't say that you mustn't play. Islam says you must play. It doesn't say you mustn't play. It's given you a chance, it's not so tight and so dry that there is no amusement. Yes. Right. Kullu lahwi ibn Adam batilun illa thalath. All the play, everything is all batil except three. But if you examine these three, what is the hadith wanting to tell you? It's wanting to tell you that what you want to, the activity, sporting activity, must be useful. Right? Archery, it's useful. Racing, it's useful. Right? So when it's something that is useful, bringing some substantial benefit, right? Archery is going to be useful to you. Racing on a horse or racing on foot is going to be useful to you. Right, so these things are coming with substantial benefit. When they're coming with substantial benefit, then the hadith will condone it, will not condemn it. But so much of training, just to know how to keep a bat now. How to place a bat and how to swing the bat. Now, is there, I ask you, is there any difference between that and a clown that is acting in the circus? He also knows how to cry now. He learned how to cry and amuse everybody. So he learned that art, right? And this person learned how to swing that baton, how he must place it and how he must swing it. So is there any difference? Isn't that israf in time? Is it or not? Think without blinkers, open your minds. And he knows, all right, from the side of the field, you know, how to take a corner, you know, how to take a corner that he must go, he must take a curve and go right into the nets. Right? Or he's a spin bowler, you know, for hours he did the training, he can actually spin the ball. Now, for hours and days and days and days, and he learned the spin bowling. So I'm asking you, is this israf or not? Israf in time, israf in wealth, israf in your intelligence, israf in your health, is it israf or not? Then do you come under the purview of the hadith, إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ? Ask yourselves. إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. So Allah Ta'ala doesn't like this, right? And then you become the brethren of shaitan. But the sporting that Allah Ta'ala doesn't condemn is that sporting which will bring you some substantial good. Right? You need to have it. Like archery now, or self-defense, for example, right? In this day, self-defense, which whatever it takes, whether it is individual, whether it's individual combat, or it is in war, but you need to have some type of skills, how to conduct yourself, how to plan yourself, how to manage yourself, whether it was individual, whether it was war, whatever, but how to conduct yourself. So, war, why? So that you can defend your own home, or you can defend the nation, you can defend your community, you can defend at least. Right? So you learned all these things here. So if you went for a training, and that was substantial benefit, right? So at least if there is a crisis in your town, in your country, whatever, you can help your people, your neighborhood, the nation, you can help the people around. Can't you help them? Can't you be of some use to them? So that was substantial. And then at the end, you see, hey, you saved our lives. But he learned his whole life, he learned how to score now. Hey, I can take a penalty, you know. Sure, I'll score the goal. Now at a time of a crisis, can he be of any good? No good at all. So some type of amusement, outwardly it seems to be amusement, but really it is very, very beneficial. Like I said, archery or racing, or some type of martial arts that is good for you, individual combat, individual defense, or when you are in a big group, a mob, and how to control the situation at that time. So there you're going to save lives, you're going to save izzat, you want to save people's iman, etc. So it's a substantial benefit, substantial gain. So the hadith speaks about three things. One is racing, one is archery, and one is amusing yourself with your wife. Right? You're amusing yourself, it's an intimate relationship. So because the benefit there is going to be substantial, it's going to result in what? In the ummah increasing. People reciting the kalima, and they will be, so the benefit is not just little, it is substantial gain. So the hadith will then approve of this. But other things now, like I said, is learning how to take a penalty, or how to score, how to bowl, right? How to bat. And so much of hours are going. You're discussing. So the discussion is futile. Sometimes our discussion goes in sports. That again, it's futile. Israf, right? Sometimes the discussion goes in politics again. So I ask you, is that substantial benefit? Is that substantial gain? That's substantial gain. By the way, one, two statements, all right, it is overlooked. But you make it a real pastime. One hour is going, who you must support, you know, National Party, DA, ANC, who you must support. And then you start criticizing, you know, everybody's chores and, you know, gravy train and whatever, you know. Putu train and gravy train. Or, yeah. So hours is going just in that. Is that the right thing? Is that, you think to yourself, is that the right thing? Are we not guilty of israf? Yeah. Yeah. So this is one area. One area is politics. One area is sports. Right? And sometimes the other area is entertainment. quite a bit of it. See, because we are covered with a Western culture, right? And in the Western culture, you don't realize that you get involved in entertainment, right? And entertainment of all types. Sometimes, like I say, sports. Sometimes you go into a club, right? And sometimes it's entertainment, again, is of no use, really of no use. Now, for people that have got no religion, no deen, for them it's all right. Because they got no religion, they got nothing to work towards. But who got a deen, then he's different. He's an atheist, he's doing it all right. We understand why he's doing it, because he's got no goal. Right? Now you find this class of people, either they're atheists or they got nothing to do with religion, right? Now someone is worried about, for example, the characteristics of a certain class of a bird now. Eagle now, a certain class of an eagle. So somehow it'll take months to go and trap that one eagle down. Then, once he trapped it down, then he'll put a chip into its leg. When he puts a chip into a microchip or something into its leg, then he can detect its movement, where it's going, right? Where it is. So if he's in America, for example, and that thing's habitat, for example, is in Arabia, so he'll track it down. Oh, it's Arabia. So he'll track it where? Or to one cave now. So he'll climb up that mountain, get into that cave. Or then you see its egg. So he'll have his whole video equipment. He'll be videoing it. But I ask you, in all that, kya fayda hua? What happened? Is there any substantial benefit? Is there anything substantial? You know, analyze the whole thing with the verse of the Quran, إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. But is there any good in that? Are you coming under the ambit of the verse of the Quran, إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ? If there was something substantial good, it's all right, right? Like you're going out with Tabligh Jamaat, again, all right, from America, you went to Arabia, for example. There was some substantial good. People went Namazis, and now, suddenly, at least two people became Namazis. Right? They were not conscious of deen, so they became conscious of deen. Right. The hadith says it now, that one person comes onto hidayat is better than the world and all it contains. So even one person, you spend, say, $100,000, and one person became namazi, it was worth the while. Wasn't it worth the while? So he also traveled, and this person also traveled. But now this person's travel comes under israf, and this person's travel is worth the while. He spent $100,000 or whatever, but one person, in the whole effort, one person became a namazi. Isn't that worth the while? It's worth the while. So you see this, how our time gets consumed, gets eaten up. Sometimes in sports, sometimes in politics, sometimes in this type of entertainment. Either we are going and doing this thing here, or we're buying this type of books. Was that book? Geographer? Huh? Yeah, natural geography. You subscribe for that, hey, what's happening here? Poland, what's happening? Switzerland, what's happening? Right? Or this bird here, how it swarms, it's what you call it's young, all that, whatever. So it goes, you know, backward against the current, all that. By how much of hours, years are going, all that? What have you achieved? Little bit, all right, little general knowledge with you and children is not enough. But too much going so deep into this type of things, what have you gained? So excess, what have you gained? Hours and hours. And it becomes like an obsession. It becomes such an obsession. One person is watching TV, sports now, a sporting event. It's consumed now, finals, coming to the cup finals. So it's namaz time, so it says, oh, hey, you know, namaz, you can always read it again. But this thing won't come up again. See how his reasoning goes. That's what I'm saying. It comes to the point of israf. He can't understand it. He can't work it out. Okay, am I supposed to be giving my time like this or not? Can't understand it. It's consumed. See? So sometimes it's entertainment. That is one entertainment. Like I see, people generally think it's permissible. So you won't dispute the whole thing, but I ask you, does it come under israf or not? Sometimes, then you are watching videos. Same, you know, one thing leads to the other, because you heard something, you saw something, You want to see something better and harder. Right? That's the nature of the world. That you got something, you want something better. Food, or something better. Entertainment, something better. Nazam, something better. Something stronger and harder. So everything must be harder all the time. Then it brings you that satisfaction. Now you began to see videos of something harder. Something harder and harder. Then what do you fall into? Allah Pak Hifaz kare. Right? But you see all this israf, how it, where our life is going and how we are getting trapped into this israf. Either Allah Pak is saying that I don't like you people, or he's saying, he's declaring you to be the brethren of shaitan. I was explaining the difference between israf and tabzir. Explaining what is israf. And tabzir is to spend, but in a wrong avenue. What is in the right avenue, more than what you're supposed to be spending. And tabzir is to spend completely in a wrong avenue. Like you're spending your money in gambling, right? So it was a total wrong avenue. No way you could find any justification for it. And you squandered your wealth in that. Now you'll call that tabzir. Some say it's mutaradif, both are synonymous. And some say it's not synonymous, rather this is overspending in the right avenue, and this is spending on a total haram avenue. Allah bak tawfiq.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We're going to discuss, inshallah, some aspects with regards to the adhan. That when calling out the adhan, one would call out the adhan in a loud voice, but obviously not screaming out, but rather a person would call it out in a loud voice and in a good manner as well. And when calling out the adhan, a person should pronounce the words of the adhan correctly. That when saying, for example, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, then the word Akbar, a person should not pull the ba and say Akbar. And likewise, when joining Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, first Akbar to the second Allah, then one can either put a sukoon on it, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, or either read it with a fatha, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And then when saying Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, then one should recite the sukoon on the sheen clearly. Ashhadu an la, that the sukoon on the sheen is recited clearly, as well as the ha. The person should not mince up the words and leave out the ha and put as if a fatha on the sheen and say Ashhadu an la ilaha. But rather the sheen should be pronounced clearly as well as the ha, Ashhadu an la ilaha. And then saying Allah, then this is not the word Allah. So you won't say Ashhadu Allah ilaha, but Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And then you're saying Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, then here again the sukoon on the sheen should be pronounced clearly as well as the ha. And then when saying anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, so the word Muhammad will have a fatha. That some make a mistake and say anna Muhammadur Rasulullah, so it does not have a sukoon, it has a fatha, and you would say anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And then when saying Rasul also, one should not pull it too long, that Rasulullah, but rather just keep it as short as possible, Muhammadan Rasulullah. And then we're saying, Hayya ala salah.
As short as possible.
And say, Hayya ala salah. Then one would say the ya correctly with the tashdeed, and the ha should not be prolonged and stretched. That one would say, Hayya, but rather the tashdeed on the ya would be pronounced, Hayya. And likewise, you won't stretch the ya as well. Hayya ala salah. But Hayya ala salah. And at the end, salah has a small, will be pronounced with a small ha, and not a big ha. You won't say Hayya ala salah, but rather Hayya ala salah. And similarly, when you're saying Hayya ala falah, the word Hayya would be pronounced clearly. And when ending of falah, then falah has a big ha. So you'd pronounce it as falah. And then you will complete the adhan as normal. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. And then when calling out the iqamat, then the difference between the iqamat and the adhan is that the adhan would be called out gradually and slowly, and iqamat would be called out and would be given with some swiftness. And when saying the words of the iqamat, you would join the sets of words. That Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And likewise, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And the same points that one should take note of in the adhan, as far as the pronunciation is concerned, that one should also take note of it also in the iqamat. And a common mistake in the iqamat, when one is saying حَيَّ عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ حَيَّ عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ, then the ta should not be pronounced. One must say حَيَّ عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ حَيَّ عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ or حَيَّ عَلَى الْفَلَاحِ حَيَّ عَلَى الْفَلَاحِ, but rather it will be said حَيَّ عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ حَيَّ عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ with a sukoon. And likewise قَدْ قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةِ قَدْ قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةِ, that you won't say قَدْ قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةُ قَدْ قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةِ, but again sukoon on the ta, you read it as a ha. قَدْ قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةِ قَدْ قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةِ, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah.